Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from today's gospel reading, Mark chapter 9. The father of the boy with the unclean spirit begged Jesus, saying, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." This is our text. You heard what that father said. If you can do anything, if you can help. On the one hand, we might want to grab a hold of him and say, "What do you mean, if? Don't you know who this is?" We're talking about Jesus here. Jesus. What can't he do? But then on the other hand, I think about that man, and I say, let's not be too harsh on him. After all, this father hadn't turned away. He hadn't given up in despair, not even when the disciples botched it. He isn't seeking help anywhere else. He is praying to Jesus. With that little word, if, he places himself, he places his son into the hands of Jesus. Yes, it's perhaps a little bit tentative. If you can, Jesus. But still, he hands the whole mess over to our Lord. How often have we made this prayer our own? Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. If you can do anything for my child, for my parent, for my marriage, for my job, for my health, for my finances, for my mental and emotional state, if you can, then do it. And what does Jesus do? Now, here I don't mean just in the immediate context of this story. We'll get back to that in a minute. But think about the big picture. What does Jesus do? If you can, help us. Have compassion. Jesus does have compassion. And his heart is way bigger than you can possibly imagine. His love for you and for your family members and for others, his heart is bigger than we realize. And he will do something. He will do anything. He will do everything to help, including this. You have to fast forward a little bit here, but including this, he will do this. It was now about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock noon, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 p.m., while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice from the cross, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. This is what he could do, to show compassion and to help. To show compassion and to help those who are struggling through the darkness of this world, through a world that is broken, shattered at times, is not what it ought to be. He could do this. And you'll notice on the cross, Jesus didn't say, "Father, if you can, into your hands I commit my spirit." But he simply did it. With his mission completed, he entrusted himself in full and perfect faith to his Father. And he was in control, not gasping, not whining, but with a loud voice praying his life and his death into his Father's hands. Jesus is one who in his suffering trusts God. He is one who in the hour of greatest need, hanging on the cross, turned to his Father in faith. Jesus Christ is faithful to the end. Having listened to the Father, having heard what his mission was, he came into this world to carry out that mission, even to the bitter end of his death. And he came to carry out that mission by speaking what he had heard, to bring consolation and peace to others. In our first reading today from Isaiah chapter 50, we hear a little preview of the crucifixion. We hear a little foretaste of it. When Isaiah, describing the servant of the Lord, the one whom God would send to redeem his people, when that servant says that he will not shy from giving his back to those who will strike him, or offering his cheeks to those who will rip out his beard, that he is willing to endure disgrace and spitting to be that servant, that redeemer of Israel, the one who will buy back, who will rescue, who will pay for and redeem God's people. This is what Jesus has come to do. When the Father asks Jesus if you can do anything, it seems to me that he's asking for too little and not for too much. Jesus is able to do and will do far more than that man asks. But if we come back now to that moment in Mark chapter 9, this man whose son has the unclean spirit, it is disturbing. The scene is terrifying. It's like a nightmare. A boy is suffering, a young boy, and his father is suffering too. And as you hear the story, you learn that this has been going on since childhood for a long time. How weary this father must be. How worn out with caring for his son, with seeking for some help, some solution to this nightmare. A spirit makes the boy mute. He cannot talk. It seizes him. It throws him down to the ground. He foams. He grinds his teeth. He becomes rigid. And the spirit will even drive this boy at times toward an open flame or a body of water seeking to destroy him. It happens regularly. Can you imagine the eagle eye that that father has for his child? Can you imagine how easily he's woken up at night by the smallest disturbance, wondering if something is happening to his son then? You almost get the sense that this spirit can do whatever it wants with the boy, and he is helpless, and the father is helpless, and the reality is terrifying. Evil is real, and it is overpoweringly strong. And even the disciples of Jesus, when they're asked to help, they cannot. They are unable to alleviate this suffering. And then this unclean spirit has the nerve to do this in front of Jesus. They bring the boy to Jesus, and the spirit does its worst once again. It convulses the boy. He's thrown down. He's rolling about. He's thrashing on the ground. He's foaming at the mouth. And the father, you can almost hear him, someone, help, do something. Isn't there something that anyone can do to stop this? You can almost imagine the father speaking to his son as well, at least on the inside. I'm so sorry, son. I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. I can't help you. I love you. Please, God, help him. Help me. Help us. The weariness of this man, the hopes and the dreams that have been crushed with this child who is possessed. And he wonders where he can turn. And this father brings his son ultimately to Jesus' disciples in the hopes that he can bring him to Jesus. He has heard something about Jesus. And I want to note that this is where faith begins. Fools are the ones who say in their heart there is no God, who simply chuck God and everything out the window. But here it begins with hearing about Jesus. Just a word. He knows of Christ. Now that's not enough. James tells us that even the devil knows that God exists, but that doesn't do him any good. The Father not only knows, but he also in some way assents to the fact that Jesus is able to do these things. But then comes the last matter of faith, the confidence and the trust in Jesus. And this is where the man falters. He brings the boy to Jesus and the spirit convulses him. And Jesus says, "How long has this been happening?" And the father says, "From childhood." And it's cast him into fire, into water. "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said, "If you can." All things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cries out and says, "I believe. Help my unbelief." He has heard of Jesus and believes that it's true. He even has gone so far as to bring his son to Jesus. But in this moment, when it comes to entrusting his son to Jesus, when it comes to having confidence in Jesus, he's tossed every which way. "Yes, I believe, but I also don't believe. I don't know what to do." And Jesus doesn't send him away. He doesn't say, "Come back when you fully believe, when your heart's fully in it, when you know and trust everything that I say and do." The father is so helpless, he doesn't even know where to turn with his lack of faith, except to Jesus. In order for his child to be freed from this constant terrorizing, all that he has to do is believe, and he's not even able to do that, or to do it well. And he knows it. The unbelief is too strong, but Jesus is stronger still. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." In your own life, when are the times when you have said to Jesus, maybe clearly, confidently, boldly, "I believe"? When are the times that you've entrusted yourself or your loved ones into his hands? And on the other hand, when are those times when you've had to say, "Help my unbelief"? Because you know yourself. You know your weakness. You know your doubt. You know the situation. And all you can do is cast all of it into Jesus' hands. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When are the moments when you will say that very thing this week, whether out loud or internally? "Yes, I believe, and yet I don't believe. Help me, Lord." And Jesus does help. He gives the Father a promise of help and of salvation. All things are possible for one who believes. Now we have to be careful with that word. Jesus isn't giving us a blank check. He's not saying, "All, whatever you want is possible so long as you believe firmly and deeply enough." I can believe in a lot of things that are wrong, and I can believe in them very firmly, and they will lead nowhere good. So we might add, because this is what Jesus is saying, all things are possible for one who believes in me. It is faith in Jesus that saves. Faith in Jesus that brings the help and compassion that he has for us. And this is what the Father is given. He is given this gift of faith so that he can cling to that promise. And then Jesus gives the gift of deliverance to that boy. The father is not here recognizing any particular sin, but he is recognizing the fallenness of this world, the brokenness of the world in which we live, the darkness around us. And this is what brings this father to his knees, turning to Jesus, looking there for help and compassion. Repentance is turning to Jesus, recognizing how small and weak we are, and how big and strong and wonderful and beautiful he is. Martin Chemnitz, who was known as the second Martin after Martin Luther, writing in the mid-16th century, had this beautiful statement to say about faith. He said, "If faith is not mistaken in its object, but lays hold of it, be it ever so tremblingly, with ever so weak a confidence, with only the striving for and desiring of it, such faith indeed is small and weak, but nevertheless true faith." I want you to hear that again. if faith is not mistaken in its object, in the thing that faith is looking at and holding on to. If you have a faith in the wrong thing, the object is wrong, it's not going to help. But if it's not mistaken in its object, if it lays hold of it, be it ever so tremblingly, with ever so weak a confidence, with only the striving for and desiring of it, such faith is indeed small and weak, but nevertheless true faith. And this is what that man has. When he turns with that trembling hand, when he turns with that weak confidence, when he turns to Jesus, he is turning to the right one. He is laying hold of the true object of faith. And with a word, Jesus is able to sustain this weary man. And with a word, he is able to heal his son. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know what the darkness is that we may face this week. I don't know the challenges that lie in front of us. But I do know that you have one to whom you can turn, not only when you are feeling strong and confident and bold, but especially when you are feeling weak and in need and don't know where else to turn. You turn to Jesus. This is what we do. In fact, the words that Jesus spoke from the cross when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," these are words that are given to us as Christians. And these are beautiful words that can be prayed every single day. There's a practice among Christians, in fact, to use these words at the end of the day. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And to entrust ourselves to Jesus, who then entrusts us to his Father. These are also the words that we use at the end of a life, when we commend those who are dying into the hands of our God, trusting in his mercy and his salvation, trusting in what Jesus has done to rescue. But I would suggest to you that this is a practice we should take up with everything every day. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, into my hands I often commend things, but now into your hands I commend myself and my loved ones and my children and my hopes and my dreams and my needs and my fears. I commend it all to you." And it's not because of how strongly we commend it. It's not because of how strong our faith is that we hear the rescue and help that Jesus gives. But it's because of how strong he is. Strong enough to offer himself on the cross, and then strong enough on the third day to rise again as your living Lord. He is ascended on high, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. He knows your need. He hears your prayer. He knows your belief and your unbelief. And he gives you his word to sustain you and to strengthen you. You can call out to him in the confidence that he does have compassion and that he will help, because he is your crucified and risen Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.